Good morning. 9:09, I will call the Dallas City Council agenda meeting to order for Wednesday, October 14th, 2015. Thank you all for being here. We will begin with our invocation and then the Pledge of Allegiance led by Mr. Callahan. Giving us our invocation today, lead us in the invocation today, is Reverend Dennis G. Simon. He's a permanent deacon at All Saints Catholic Church, a high-energy executive with corporate and academic and community leadership expertise. He's been ordained deacon in the Diocese of Dallas for 28 years. He is a member of the advisory board of the Catholic Foundation and the Bishop's Finance Council for the Diocese of Dallas. He's a member of the board of Camp, Camp John Mark, Texas Ranch for Disabled Children, and the Foundation Board for the Family Place, a shelter for victims of domestic violence, which, by the way, it's Domestic Violence Month this month, and that's why we're wearing our purple ribbon. Thank you, Reverend Simon, for being here. Reverend Simon lives in Miss Grayson's district, and where the parish is also located. He and his wife raised 4 sons and 1 daughter there. Thank you. All rise.
Let us pray. Almighty God, giver of all good things, we come to you this morning in our prayer of thanksgiving and petition. We're thankful for the gift of our lives, the gifts of our health and work, our families, all the things that you give us and so many times we take for granted. Come to you in petition today to send your Spirit to guide our city leaders to do what is good and right for our people, your people. We ask all this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's go.
Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, Reverend Simon. We had a couple of announcements this morning. Ms. Arnold.
Thank you, Mr. Rollins, Mr. Mayor. I wanted to take the opportunity once again to thank all of the city staff in particular for a fantastic national night out. We couldn't have done it without the city staff and other members of our great city. But I did want to take an opportunity today to thank all of our associates for a wonderful District 4 National Night Out. And if I could, Mayor, I want to most definitely thank all of the city managers because we couldn't have done it without their staff. But also want to underscore the fantastic Blue, the Dallas Police Department, Fire Department. They were there to support us. And as most of you know, the National Night Out is a program designed to enable a variety of networks and neighborhoods to come together. And they've got to come together, and we always come together with our public safety brothers and sisters through the Dallas Police Department, Fire Department, the Sheriff's Department, Marshals Department, and others in the city. But particularly, I wanted to make sure we recognize the Park and Recreation Department, EBS, community prosecutors, as well as housing. And we will follow up with particular names, Mayor Rollins, but I did want you to know that we had a fantastic time. Neighbors showed out. We were at the fantastic Glendale Park, and we couldn't have had a better time. So thank you to all of our city staffers, brothers and sisters. And once again, District 4 has nothing but love for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Arnold. Also speaking, Mr. McGue.
Thank you, Mayor. I also wanted to take a moment and really thank the Dallas Independent School District for their principal for a day exercise yesterday. Several of my colleagues had an opportunity to participate in that, and it was just a unique experience to have the doors open to our schools and really see some of the very impressive administrators, teachers, and certainly the kids. And so it was a really good experience. I'm thankful to DISD first and certainly Christy Myers, who helped pulled that whole project together and worked with many of us and made the process really good for us. I just wanted to take an opportunity to thank the district for that and thank Christy. On another note, several of my colleagues are also going through this, but in Northeast Dallas, we've had several tragedies, and it has impacted my district substantially, and several folks are suffering. And so I really ask for prayers. I ask for our community to come around, certainly with the loss of Zoe Hastings and on our trails, David Stevens. And we can't ever really be prepared for this kind of tragedy, but it impacts all of us. And so I just really ask for prayers, thoughts, and an opportunity for our communities to all come around these individuals in this time of tragedy. So thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. With that, Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I also want to throw a shout out to Mrs. Dillard and the John Ireland Elementary Wolves. I was there yesterday as their principal for a day, and we sure did have a good time. I read The Meanies Come to School. That was the book, and they proved that their comprehension skills are very good. So, and then we all got together and put our hands out into the middle, and they did the wolf howl for me right there, and it was just so much fun. So great kids. I guarantee you learning is taking place in every classroom over there, and the teachers and the administrators over there should be highly appreciated for all the work that they're doing. But it was a great day. And also, I went to San Jacinto Elementary School yesterday, and they are building a community garden. They had like 40, 50 volunteers. They're building this massive community garden in their courtyard. It's going to be fantastic. So I hope that you can come out and see that when they get that all ready to go. Thank you.
We'll do it. Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mayor. I also would like to say thank you for DISD. I had a chance to be principal for a day at the great Carter High School, which, by the way, they do have a movie that's coming out this month to detail the success of one of the greatest athletic programs in DISD. I want to say thank you to Principal Fred Davis for giving me the opportunity to see what wonderful staff and students they have at Carter. They're doing great things. I look forward to supporting them in every effort to ensure that those students are successful, not only in the classroom, but once they graduate with either college or their living arrangement. So I want to just say thank you for DISD for opening up that opportunity. As a former teacher, I got a chance to see what it was like on the other side as an administrator, and I do believe that we have some of the hardest working, again, administrators and teachers in DIC at Carter High School. Again, thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Young.
Thank you. I too want to just say thank you to DISD for opening up the principal for a day to community partners. I think it's very important that we do that because we have the opportunity to learn firsthand, not only from an administrator's eye, but what the teachers are faced with. And I think it's really important to share a life in the day of someone else in another profession. And so I had the opportunity yesterday to surprise my nephew and share his principal for a day at Skyline High School, and just had a wonderful time, a wonderful experience with some parent conferences and some true community issues that I had to get my office involved with there at Skyline yesterday. So shout out to Principal Brooks and all 12 of the assistant principals that I had the opportunity to share with yesterday. Thank you to DISD.
Thank you. Ms. Arnold.
Yes. Mr. Mayor and Council, forgive me, we're kind of twisted a little bit this morning, so don't be surprised if I push the button and it's actually Mr. Kingston. But, you know, we could not go today also without thanking Mrs. Jennifer Gates for her work with the domestic violence efforts, and so you are to be commended citywide. And I still need my light bulb, Mrs. Gates. So thank you once again. You did a fantastic job, and I wanted to make sure we underscored that. Thanks.
And Mr. Kingston? Or no? Okay. Great. Thank you. We will begin with our open microphone speakers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Your first five registered speakers are Yolanda Williams, Regina Ambergia, Kermit Mitchell, Stephen Betson, and Bobby Brantley. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks will be removed from the session of the meeting. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice a timer at the podium. When your time is up, please allow the next individual their turn. You should state your name and address for the record, as well as address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Again, your first speaker is Yolanda Williams.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning.
Councilmember, to my Councilmember Callahan. I am not here today with park board business. I'm here to make an announcement today. I have special guests with us. You all know Carter High. The movie will be airing October the 30th, and it was during my great time. I graduated in 1988, and it's a true story. I believe Arthur Muhammad is here. He's actually the writer. He played football with Carter, so this was his vision. But I have Ms. Kelly Grant. She's the producer, and she's also from Fort Worth, Texas. And I'm quite sure everyone knows Mr. Greg Ellis. He's the executive producer. You know, he spent 10 great years with the Cowboys, but not only did he have a great character on the field, he also was great off the field. And this is your personal invite. I'm going to be sending you, Mr. Mayor, the council members. He's having a red carpet movie premiere, and he themed it and called it Bringing Hollywood to Dallas. And I can assure you, he received a lot of calls to go and do the movie premiere in LA, but he told them he wanted to stay in Dallas and highlight Dallas. So I wanted to make sure that you all, because y'all know my council member is Councilmember Callahan, that you all get your personal invite. And Mr. Mayor, I sent the message to Mr. Goldstein, you on program, to do the welcome. And so if you all could just get your assistant to respond back, because it's reserved seating. And so he's scheduled to speak, and he want to share a word with you all. And lastly, I've been approached by several people who wants to know how to do business, how to do movies. Well, doing my research, I found out the reason why everyone is going to Atlanta is not that Atlanta is better than Dallas. Atlanta offered tax breaks and tax incentive. So, Mr. Mayor, hopefully you can find someone to work with us to see how we can get Dallas to tap into that industry. I know the Texas Film Commission, they offer some tax break, but you all would be amazed how many people really, really want to film in Dallas, but that's what's preventing them. Thank you all, and I look forward to seeing y'all at the red carpet movie premiere.
Thank you, Yolanda, and thank you for all you do for the City of Dallas through the Parks Department as well. It is an issue we continue to work with in Texas to get more money for these film producers, because Louisiana and Georgia beats the state pretty good. So thank you very much.
Your next speaker, Regina Ambrosia.
Good morning, I'm Regina Ambrosia, and I'm in Mr. Kingston's district. And right now you're getting a card, which the camera can't really see, but basically I'm here talking about fluoridation again. And I'm new to all this city government. You know, I started about a year ago, it was actually December 2013, to see how does city government work. And recently, I've been looking into the committees, Mayor, and I was looking up, what do committees do? Why do you have them, you know? Because I've been wanting to have a committee meeting, right? So one of the questions is, why do we have the Quality of Life and Environment Committee? Well, I've been listening to some of the archives, and y'all have been covering a lot of interesting things. Gates, you know, whether they should be made out of what kind of products, or, you know, or whether in the right of way we should have let them purchase space to have more cell interaction with our phones, which are great. That's quality of life. But water is essential to life, you know, all life. Animals, trees, everything, right? And all last year, when I came before you guys, Mayor, to talk about fluoridation, I'm not a tinfoil hat person. I'm really not, you know. And it's not junk science. It's real. It's really real. And the hydrofluorosilicic acid that you all decided to purchase January 28th, with all my warnings, comes from Mosaic. In October 1st of this year, just October 1st, Mosaic was fined $2 billion. $2 billion with a B. For problems they're having with management of their product, That's just the beginning of it. That's the Department of Justice, okay? Now, Mr. Callahan has said he drinks the water every day and he loves it and it's good and his teeth are better than everybody else. But what about the mother of this baby? Does she know that you really shouldn't mix the formula with tap water? I mean, this mother is, she put the powder underneath the baby's chin. I've done that before, you know, because the baby sweats. She cares about her baby. Do you know in the millions of people that are getting the Dallas tap water, do they understand that they shouldn't be making the baby formula or the baby food with this tap water? The Dallas water has enough natural fluoride, okay? And you are now adding a contaminated product to this water, okay, which does not meet Texas rule for things that are added to the water. It's 209.42J. I've brought this up before. Now, you guys don't have time, or you look away, or you don't talk to me, but a committee should do this. The committee should be open, should have experts on both sides. The public should see you asking these questions and holding the papers in your hand that show that this water does conform. I did an open records request. You guys don't have it. Why don't you have it? There's so many questions that you probably don't have the answers to. Don't just rely on, my dentist says it's okay, or you know, all these agencies that have talked, you know, slogans for, you know, 50 years have said that it's, you know, the top 10, my time is up. Thank you very much. I'll be back. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Regina.
Mayor?
Yes, Ms. Grayson.
Regina?
Talk to me.
Yes.
Hi.
I have talked to some folks around here about your request that we have this thorough and open public hearing, public meeting, bring experts from both sides, which we've pretty much did for most of last year, but you'd like us to have a fuller and more thorough explanation. And I would tell you that the response I've been getting is that no matter how many times we did this, no matter how thoroughly we aired this issue again, that in the end, if we didn't agree with you, it wouldn't be any different, and you'd want us to do it again. So we feel as though we have pretty much explored this issue at great length.
Can I respond?
No, ma'am, thank you.
Can you ask me a question so I can respond?
No. We'll take it offline. She just wanted to respond to you, okay?
I did because you've been asking for this.
Okay.
You know what, Mayor? I don't want to engage in a debate with her, but can
we
let her?
I just want to say, I don't want to get off topic. It's not posted, and that's
oh,
why.
Oh, all right. The city attorney's telling us we can't do this, but
okay.
I just wanted to be sure.
Okay.
Yes, I'll talk to you.
Call me. Do lunch.
Thank you.
Okay.
Your next speaker, Kermit Mitchell. Mr. Mitchell will be followed by Stephen Betson and Bobby Brantley.
Good morning, Kermit Mitchell, 5659 Marblehead Drive, Dallas, Texas, District 3. I'm here about selling the Omni Dallas Convention Center Hotel. The public ownership of the City of Dallas places the Omni Dallas Convention Center Hotel at high risk. All of the proprietary information of that hotel can be easily obtained by the competitors by a simple request to open records at Dallas City Hall. The hotel needs to be sold to close this open window. Kermit Mitchell, DBA KGM Enterprises, has made an offer to purchase the Omni Dallas Convention Center Hotel from the City of Dallas for $479 million. This is the total in financing that was raised to build a hotel. The $479 million purchase would include the acquisition of the hotel, the new additional parking and restaurant space adjacent to the hotel, and the residual cash. The purchase of the hotel as proposed would change essentially nothing but the name of the owner. The hotel would continue to be managed by the Omni Hotel Management Corporation unchanged. The economic development agreement between the City of Dallas and the hotel would also remain. The advantage to sell to this purchase proposal is to repay the city any tax money that was paid to the debt. The sale of the hotel yields the following public benefits. The 7.1% interest paid now would be reduced to 3.5% interest. This cost is now to the hotel. The 2.6% interest paid by the federal subsidy, IRS, would be eliminated. That's $10 million per year. The excessive current cost of 4.5% interest now paid above the market interest now would be zero. The current financial markets predicts that the Federal Reserve will raise interest rates somewhere in this last quarter or early next year. This increase will have an enormous effect on $388 million financed over 30 years. This increased cost to the hotel is the basis for a focus for immediate action to sell the hotel now. This outline of scheduled events illustrates that the purchase and sale agreement needs to be considered and signed. Vet this deal now. There are enormous increased costs to delay. There is not time to issue RFP and seek alternatives. There is no public loss to the sale of the current proponent as opposed to another unknown entity. The money is the same. The management is the same. The owner's name is the only change. This offer to purchase the Omni Dallas Convention Center Hotel is made in good faith upon the previous representations of the City of Dallas that it wanted to sell the hotel. Now is the time to sell the hotel. We're prepared to move forward and look forward to saving money for the taxpayers of Dallas. Thank you, Mayor, and look forward to meeting with you.
The next speaker, Stephen Benson. Mr. Benson will be followed by Bobby Brantley.
Good morning. My name is Stephen Betson. I'm a citizen of Dallas and the co-owner and office manager of Dallas Reading and Language Services. We're a speech therapy and reading clinic in North Oak Cliff, specializing in the treatment of children ages 3 to 18. I am personally a constituent of the Honorable Mr. Thomas, and our clinic is located in the district of the Honorable Mr. Griggs. And at this time, all of you have anti-bullying pledges, and I want to thank Mr. Griggs and Mr. Thomas for both signing those pledges and giving us their stars. And I would additionally like to thank the Honorable Mark Clayton for signing the pledge and emailing it back to us. October is National Bullying Prevention Month. Our speech therapists see children every day who have been targeted by bullies because of their special needs as children with speech and language disorders. We know firsthand how devastating this can be to young lives. One of our students was attacked at school by bullies, and they broke his leg, or his ankle. And when he returned on crutches, they tripped him again and sprained his other ankle. He's now at another school to protect himself from his bullies. According to the CDC, suicide is the third leading cause of death among young people. Bullying affects their social and emotional well-being, and through extension, their educational outcomes. Roughly 160,000 children stay home from school every day to avoid their bullies. As schools and communities, we have tasked our children with ending bullying. We seek to give children an outlet to talk about their own experiences as bullies or victims, and to practice better social skills to learn to stop bullying before it starts. Similarly, we as parents, leaders, and role models need to be mindful of our actions and the examples we set for our children. And we need to consider our actions and interactions. For these reasons, our clinic has initiated a program called Be a Star, Not a Bully. Our therapists give each child a pledge card to sign, and additionally, they sign a cutout star that we put on the wall of our office. By signing a similar pledge card, you, as city leaders, will be setting a positive example for children and helping to empower the many children who suffer the ill effects of bullying every day in our community. With the pledge, we are also giving you a star to put your name on, and I'd ask that you return those to me so that I could put them on our wall to join the stars of our children, to let them know that our city leaders stand with them. Together, our stars can shine against bullying. Thank you for your help.
Thank you for coming in. I'm sorry, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Betson, I want to say thank you for bringing this to my attention and to the council's attention. I commend you for standing up for those who oftentimes don't feel like they can stand up for themselves. And I encourage my colleagues to join me and take the pledge and sign the star. And let's show a unified effort that we will not stand for bullying of our children. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Bobby Brantley. Mr. Brantley will be the final speaker. Those individuals registered under additional will be called in the afternoon.
I'm gonna.
Unless the mayor indicates otherwise. Thank you.
Good morning to the mayor and the returning council, and also to the new council members. My name is BJ, and I am the Interstate Cowboy. And my mission is to create a working horse ranch for at-risk kids and kids at risk, troubled kids and kids at risk. This is my first briefing to the mayor and the council since being self-appointed ambassador to the Texas Horse Park. First things first, Equest, which is a therapeutic ranch, has performed above expectations. September 11th, Freedom Day, is a perfect example. There was hundreds and hundreds of volunteers. River Ranch, on the other hand, despite our wet spring, has also made some significant advances. Wayne Kirk and his posse is presently installing bleacher seatings in the arena that will open up the opportunities to engage horse exhibition events. They were great when it came to reaching out to the community on Community Day. We entertain hundreds and hundreds of kids from the southern sector of Dallas. They have also reached out to the Interstate Cowboy and his ARC Ranch program for at-risk kids. After the fall festivals are over, we will be sitting down to map out plans to go forward with this important piece of the total picture. I am here to ask for your patience and your continued support for Wayne and his posse, because they are committed to the Texas Horse Park. Next year, like River Ranch, like Storybook Ranch up in McKinney, we will have a pumpkin patch. Thank you, and happy trails.
I am so glad you self-appointed yourself as ambassador, because I can't appoint ambassadors, so it's great. Ms. Young.
Yes, thank you. I just want to say thank you to BJ, to Ray, to Wayne, Equest, to everyone that is doing important work out there at the Texas Horse Park, which is in District 7. We look forward to continuing to partner with you. My park board appointee, Sean Johnson, Yolanda, the other park board members, will continue to work with you all to make sure we have a good product out there, and that we are holding true to the promise that we will include those in the community in the projects and plans of the Texas Horse Park. So thank you for coming down.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I would be a terrible mayor if I did not let the great Dallas Cowboy Greg Ellis speak before the meeting. So Mr. Ellis, would you please come on up and tell us what's going on with this great movie?
Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I am way out of place right now, so the etiquette may be a little rough. But again, thank everybody, and you guys do a great job of running this city. But what we have going on with the movie, as Yolanda said, it's based off a true story off of Carter High School, the school that you went to, with the principal for the day there. And basically the film, it shows the kids winning their state championship, the ups and downs that they went through to obtain that, but it really kicks into another gear when, after they win the state championship, they start to commit some robberies, and then they end up, you know, getting punished for that. But the lesson and the reason I got involved with the film personally myself was simply because, you know, I I like speaking to kids and try to help them get and stay on the right path. These were some very talented athletes, some of the most talented high school athletes in the country during that year. Jesse Armstead, who was on that team, who's going on to the NFL as well, he was the first high school three-time consensus All-American in the history of high school football. So it was that kind of talent on that team. But nevertheless, they chose to get off the path of doing things the right way. So the reason, again, I got involved, I want young people to see and understand, no matter how talented you are playing basketball, football, or whatever you do, you still have to comply with the rules. And I appreciate the city's support of us bringing this film here and allowing it to happen here. And I appreciate the city's support in helping us turn this into a national product. We now are in the Cinemark movie theater chain, Studio Movie Grill, Movie Tavern, Regal, AMC as well, which is very hard to obtain. We have some of the major Hollywood stars in the movie. Charles Dutton playing the coach, James. Vivica Fox is playing his wife. David Banner is playing Senator Royce West. Senator Royce West was actually an attorney that worked on this case during those years. Pooch Hall is another known actor. And as Ms. Yolanda said, we were asked to take this to Hollywood. We were even asked to film it somewhere else. Senator West asked us, you know, to film it here, and we did that. Me personally felt like this project needs to be revealed here. It's a great city, big enough to handle it. And so again, I thank y'all for y'all's support. And Kelly Gray, I want to just announce her. She's one of the other producers. Arthur Muhammad is the gentleman who wrote the script and also directed and edited this movie. He was also on that team during that year as well. So again, thank everybody for your support. I look forward to seeing you guys out there at the premiere. And again, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ellis, and thank you for bringing this to Dallas. It's gonna be a great moment. Thank you.
Yes,
Ms. Young.
Just one quick thing. I have had the opportunity to see the movie, personally know some of the football players that grew up with me at church, and just want to, I hope the council members will attend this movie, but have received requests to help our football teams view this movie. So I just want to ask the businesses that if they would come around and help us to make sure. It's very important, especially this week, as we've seen one of our standout football players from the field involved in an incident here this week. So it's very important that we continue to be good role models. I look forward to hosting a screening for some students in District 7 and really look forward to having some of the former players come back to speak to the current students. I think it's very important that we reach back and make that connection and make that contact. So if there are any businesses that would be interested in helping to wrap our arms around current students to make sure that they have an opportunity to see this movie, please contact my office. And just want to say thank you to Kelly and all those that are making sure, and then want to say to the community that we make sure we get out and we support this movie. Beyond going to the screenings and the premieres, that we get out as a community and truly support this movie. And so I'm asking the Dallas community to show up and show out at the end of October in support of this movie. Many of us know those that are involved in the real life situation, and they are all now, to my colleagues, back paroled, back into society, have not had any more incidents. And so it's very important that we share this story with the future generation. So again, I just say thank you to you all for bringing this movie to light.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Young. We'll move to our first item.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Your first item is approval of minutes of the September 22nd, 2015 City Council meeting.
We've got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We have one individual registered to speak on all items on the agenda. That is Marvin Crenshaw. Mr. Crenshaw? Mr. Crenshaw, you're allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record, as well as address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Thank you.
Marvin Crenshaw, 5134 Malcolm X Boulevard. I signed up to speak on all the agenda items, and particularly number 14, and there are a couple more. But I, Mr. Mayor, and I have come before this council speaking on this particular issue many times. On number 14, we're talking about the city controller's office. On September 22nd, 2015, there was a, you had the city controller's office and you adopted the city's investment policy regarding funds under the city's control. Agenda item 14 is talking about a general obligation refunding improvement bonds. And I noticed in reading the investment policy that bonds were mentioned. That's why I brought this up. I'm bringing this up. In the city of Portland, Oregon, there's been a resolution passed by the city of Portland, Oregon's Social Responsibility Committee that the city of Portland should have a moral investment policy. And this, in reading our policy, I want to see if we can include that and deal with the bonds, because bonds are also mentioned in the in that policy, one you voted on 22nd. It's the city of Oregon, Portland, Oregon is doing this. They have a social responsibility committee, the social responsibility committee, and we're talking about, and it's good to talk about domestic violence, voted to not do business with Motorola, Caterpillar, and two others, G4S, because of their involvement in the human rights violation of Palestinians of Palestinians. And hopefully we can do this here, Mr. Mayor, in the city of Dallas, especially when we talk about domestic violence today. If you read the papers, you will see where women in Palestine are being brutally murdered by the IDF, and it's a policy of the Israeli government now that women should be killed and their children should be killed because they're like little snakes. That's what one of the new elected officials said. You can read it for yourself. Mr. Mayor, again, let's look at this agenda item 14. Let's look at the agenda item number 14 from the 22nd and establish a social responsibility committee, a moral social responsibility committee, Mr. Mayor, a human rights social responsibility committee. You know better because you're a global person. I have studied you and looked at your record. You're a global person. You know all these issues. And the Jewish community in Dallas, not the Zionist community, the Jewish community in Dallas needs to stand up, like you tell me, behind the scenes, come out far instead in front. Thank you very much, and everybody have a nice day.
Thank you, Mr. Kinshaw.
Thank you. We move now to your consent agenda. Your consent agenda consists of agenda items number 2 through 37 and addendum items number 1 through 2. Agenda item number 5 has been pulled by Councilmember Kingston and Councilmember McGew. Agenda item number 23, which was corrected on the addendum, is pulled by Councilmember Kingston. Therefore, remaining on your consent agenda for approval are agenda items number 2 through 4, 6 through 22, 24 through 37, and addendum items number 1 and 2.
We have a motion to approve. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 5 is authorize a 3-year service contract for food establishment inspections. Bureau Veritas North America, Inc., most advantageous proposer of 2. Both Councilmember Kingston and Councilmember McGew pull the item.
Thank you. I'll take a motion to approve. Anybody?
Motion to approve.
Do we have a second? Okay. Thank you. Mr. Kingston.
Colleagues, I'd like you to turn this one down. Code doesn't need it. These are very expensive third-party inspectors who we've had some reports that they're not well trained. They can't write citations, so they're basically useless as inspectors. And it's a situation where our sanitarians should be able to handle this. Code told us essentially that they need these people because they're having trouble keeping the sanitarians staffed. I think that that is a problem that we can deal with the sanitarians we have, and be able to have competent inspections. We discussed this at length budget audit and finance, and I just don't feel like there's sufficient justification for this contract. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston. Ms. McGue.
So I am going to support this contract at this point in time, but we've discussed and had a lot of questions answered in quality of life also, I won't support this moving forward. I believe that there's an opportunity here for a policy discussion, and that discussion is that I want our code officers to have additional training, and I want there to be cross-training, and I want us to have the opportunity to pour everything we can into our current staff. I think having a contract where we pay essentially a premium, which is effectively $125 per inspection, when the average cost of our inspectors is $76 per inspection, and using this premium to cover some of the properties that are, I think, as I've been told, in our better conditions, is not a good use of the funds. I would much rather have additional training, whether it be in through international code, sanitarian training for our current code officers, and find ways to fill those gaps with our current inspectors. So that's really the discussion I want to have here, is focus on having more training into our current officers to fill those gaps where they need it. Maybe that ends up crossing over into animal services. Maybe it ends up eventually crossing into our police department and some of our police officers cross-training. But I just believe there's a need for cross-training within our code department, as opposed to outsourcing these contracts. I similarly have had some of my constituent report very negative experiences with the contract folks coming in and not understanding their role and how they're connected to the city. And as such, I just think this is a bad idea, and want to work on this moving forward. That being said, I trust and believe that Chris Sweckert is doing a great job for code, and I think this is something that I'm essentially trusting that judgment on what we're doing, and I'm thankful that you're in the position to do what you're doing. I just want to change that policy. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. McGue. Mrs. Gates.
Could we ask, I guess it'd be code to come up and speak about it, so we can be a little more informed? I didn't hear the discussion, quality of life.
You just want general background on the item?
I mean, we've heard that money can be spent differently, and we've heard that this isn't necessary. So I'd like to staff's opinion. Is this necessary, and can we do it more efficiently?
Yes, it is necessary, and it has been part of our program for the last 3 or 4 years now. We do this because it allows us to have scalability. We don't know how many sanitarian vacancies we're going to have in any given year, and we certainly don't want to overstaff, build a church for Easter Sunday, so to speak. So this allows us to respond if we have zero vacancies, 1, 2, 3, or 4, or 5. We certainly moved very quickly to try and fill the vacancies as soon as we got them, but it's very important that we maintain these food safety inspections twice per year as required by code.
Thank you. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I like Mr. McGue's idea of cross-training. I think it's a good idea, except that in this particular instance, these sanitarians have specialized training. They have to have a bachelor's degree in life sciences. Mm-hmm. So it's not a simple question of cross-training some of our current code enforcement officers to do this work. They have to have a specialized degree. And these are requirements that are put on us by the state. It's not requirements that we, correct, Mr. Zapata?
Correct.
These are not requirements that we as the city of Dallas have come up with. We must comply with these. These folks have to have the degree. And so with that degree of specialized training, in this particular instance, we need to have the ability to have these slots filled in case we ourselves as a city don't have enough people to fill them. This is really a critical function. A year or two ago, We had a shortage of sanitarians, got way behind on our restaurant inspections, and it was a really bad situation. And so this is to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Thank you. Ms. Arnold?
Yes, just quickly, just for my clarification on the MWBE information, can I have someone give me some clarification on actually what's going on here?
Good morning. I'm Mike Frosch, the Director of Business Development Procurement Services. The recommended proposer is certifiable, but they're not certified today.
For being minority, is that what you meant?
Yes, they're a minority-owned firm. They're just not certified with one of our recognized agencies today.
All right, just so that we can understand in District 4 and throughout the city, as I'm reading here, and just to help us to understand, you have 240 vendors contacted. Is that how it reads?
Correct.
And you only have one response?
Correct. We had 240 minority vendors contacted out of the city's database. We have about 50,000 vendors that are registered with the city's database today. So of that, we had one response, but they're not certified today. So we're working to get them certified with our certification agency.
So that means that we had to go with this particular contract? Is that what you're saying? What I'm looking at is the ethnic composition at this point, so I'm seeking clarity. You have the way it's broken down, you see that it's predominantly white male, one black male, Hispanic male, 20 white females, no black females, and three Hispanic females. And that's pretty much the composition of the company. Is that true?
Correct. This is the ethnic composition that was provided by the vendor. We reached out to them and to see if they could get certified. They indicated they were 51% owned by a white female firm, by a white female owner, and we're trying to get them to get certified today. Yes, ma'am.
All right. So, and this white female owner is the minority that you're counting as the the one to respond for this business.
Our policy includes white females. Yes, ma'am.
Well, no problem with that. We're just seeking clarification and understanding. I'm just a little bit just interested in that. So I appreciate it very much because we want to, of course, include as many opportunities as we can for a better, I think, a color scheme. I think it does help culturally. It does help in their jobs to understand the nature of the business. And I think that knowledge is very, very important. And so it's not to ostracize, but it is for us to understand the importance of cultural diversity and also the education that goes with it and brings with it as we reach out to do our job. So I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Gates?
Thank you. Well, that brought up a question Ms. Arnold's did. So were they awarded points for being a minority or they weren't because they were not certified?
They were not awarded any points.
They were not awarded points because they weren't certified at this point. Right. But you're saying they possibly could be certified in the future.
Correct.
And that was the winning bid was the one that was the one minority that responded. But they didn't get points for it. But
right.
They still
did not
won.
Get, did
they
not
got
get points.
Points.
Right. Right. There's not any subcontracting opportunities as well, so they would.
So there wouldn't have been points anyway because it
correct.
Wasn't a prime. I mean,
yes,
they were the prime. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
And then the second question to Joey then, which Mr. Kingston raised this point about that the individuals that are working for this firm then will not be able to write citations. Is that, does that cause a problem or is that, how is that handled if they need to?
It is manageable, but he's correct that the way we use these, actually we cannot delegate our enforcement authority in any one of our functions. Code inspectors are required to write code violation citations, animal officers have to write them for animal violations. So we cannot delegate it to an outside contractor, but it's a problem that we can manage because we know we've got a number of food establishments that are not going to require a citation. But whenever they do, then we can call in one of our own and write a citation if necessary.
So are other sanitariums, ours that work for us, are they code? And are they actually don't write tickets either? Are they?
They write tickets.
They
yes,
can.
They do. They are licensed sanitariums.
But if they were, if the ones from the agency go out and find one, would they call one of our code officers to come?
So
people would still be cited. There's
correct.
Still a mechanism
correct.
For that. So that's taken care of. Okay. Thanks.
Mr. Bada, I do have one question. It's what you said. Did I hear you say you don't know how many inspections you've got to do year in
no,
year?
No. I said we don't know how many vacancies we're going to have in the course of a year. We know how many inspections. It's roughly 13,500.
Okay.
Yes.
And so we can't look at the last years and say predictably we're at X amount of vacancies?
We can anticipate, but we don't know that something else will come up and we'll have a
look, my issue.
But we do anticipate a vacancy rate. Yes, sir.
My issue is about planning and getting these vacancies filled. I'm going to sound like Ms. Arnold about pick up the dogs, get the vacancies filled. Civil service, staff, we got to, this notion, we got a vacancy. It's like, yeah, we do. We had them last year, too.
This has been an ongoing challenge for us, and we've raised the salaries on them over the last few years.
Yep.
We've introduced our Grow Our Own sanitarium program. We have sanitarium trainees that we train up, so we're doing things. We're trying new things to do that. And
I know you are. I just, from a math standpoint, we should be able to predict how many vacancies we have. Mr. Clayton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You had mentioned quality of life about, one of the challenges is a lot of these folks are going to the suburbs because they get paid more to work less, basically. So how many inspectors do we have that does this job now?
Roughly? We have 22 positions right now.
So, and to the mayor's point, to be fully staffed based on historical averages, how many folks would we need?
22 is the number of positions.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. You're asking how many?
I guess from a planning standpoint, could we not take the same money up the grade of the position? And
that's one of the solutions we're looking at.
Okay.
To introduce a senior sanitarian. But to your original question, the challenge is that we rely on these to do our West Nile activities during the summer. There's special events. There's a whole bunch of other work. So we pay about the same as the suburbs, but we put a lot more work on them.
I got you. I think Mr. Kingston makes a really articulate point in that, we're paying a premium to get these folks, and I think from a planning standpoint, if we know we're going to have them do a lot more work, we'll just pay them a lot more money, And I think that's why this contract doesn't quite feel right. So, but anyway, I just wanted to get clarity. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. What's the greatest number of inspections that any sanitarian has completed during a week?
About 50 per month, 25 a week.
That's the world record? I'm looking for the world record.
50 per month, 12 or 13 a week, yes.
And that's like the world record? I'm not going to go ask these guys later and find out that somebody
did 20?
Average.
That is an average.
Yeah, I'm looking for the world record.
Okay. Well, we can get you that number, but certainly it's going to depend on the size of the restaurants that they're doing in a particular week and just how...
I'm sure it depends on a ton of stuff. The point is... We fell behind on restaurant inspections during the downturn, and we had no increase in foodborne illness. We just finished a budget process where this didn't get mentioned. I'm just trying to make sure that we're all operating under the same rules, thereby ask for the same stuff at the same time, so that this body can evaluate it when we've got all of the cards on the table, when we're looking at our total revenue, when we're looking at our total expenditures. I can't understand why we can't simply work a little harder if we're down a position or two, like everybody else does in private industry. So I'm in favor of simply turning this down this year and seeing what happens. I don't think that we're risking the public health. I don't think that we're going to burn out our employees. I don't think we're going to make Chris's job impossible. I think this is simply 300 grand that we could save. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Three. Three opposed. Thank you. Motion is carried. Next item.
Agenda item number 23 is authorized payment of annual membership fees and continuation of arrangements for providing specialized municipal-related services to Gardner, Inc. in the amount of $121,089, North Central Texas Council of Governments in the amount of $124,427, Encore City Steering Committee in the amount of $160,169, Texas Coalition of Cities for Utility Issues in the amount of $51,243, Texas Municipal League in the amount of $51,947, Water Environment Research Foundation in the amount of $80,820, and Water Research Foundation in the amount of $243,998. This item had been corrected on the addendum, as well as Councilmember Kingston pulled the item.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. A motion is second. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to, am I correct that on the addendum, the correction was to remove the 90 grand approximately for North Texas Commission?
Yes.
Okay.
Ryan just said
that. I think that's good. And I also wanted to, I'm making an amended motion to approve all of these memberships except for Texas Municipal League. I have enjoyed Texas Municipal League over the years. I've enjoyed working in the committees there. I've enjoyed meeting the other members of Texas Municipal League, but it became very clear to me during the legislative session this spring that Texas Municipal League is a small city organization. And it has a conflict of interest essentially with its larger members. It advocates for the majority of its membership, and the majority of its membership are small cities. The reason that's not good for Dallas is that small cities have made very different decisions than we have concerning, for example, environmental policy. During the session, we were working very hard with Texas Municipal League to try to salvage our drilling ordinance, to protect it from a very bad bill that ultimately was passed that threatens to preempt our ability to regulate things like first responder plans, emergency plans for well accidents. There's a substantial chance that our requirement that drilling companies tell us what our firefighters are going to face when they're called to a well accident, we require them to tell us what's at the well site. There's a substantial chance that the legislation that was passed this spring makes that illegal, that we can't enforce that ordinance. Texas Municipal League made a deal with small cities and the legislature to preserve drilling ordinances like we find in Arlington and in San Angelo, and to leave ours as basically preempted. And they did that without telling us. We were down there all together in the same room planning our strategy, and they cut a deal behind our back. I don't think we should pay people to work against our interests, and that's essentially what this membership is doing at this point. Most other large cities sort of go it alone in terms of lobbying, and we certainly have that capability. You know, we've got Brett and Larry and Anna, and we've got a host of third-party lobbyists that you all approved the contracts for 6 months ago. We are fully capable of representing ourselves both at the legislature and in Washington. And we've simply outgrown the relationship with TML, I believe. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Kleiman.
Thank you, Mayor. You know, I know TML does tend to have a more of a small town.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, Mr. Kleiman. He made a motion, so we need a second.
I'll second for discussion purposes.
For discussion, okay. We got this. Mr. Clyburn.
I know TML does have a lot of representation for small communities, but they do important work as well on behalf of the city of Dallas. In this last legislative session, which I spent more hours down in Austin than I care to remember, they did very hard work helping us combat all kinds of preemption type rules, including revenue caps, which was a very important one. They helped us on other local control issues, such as our ability to self-determine car for hire, and other things that really just belong in the city for decision making. So we can continue to work with them to get more big city representation in some of the things they do. But they do provide a lot of help and lobbying support. And to be quite honest with you, they are very much either feared or respected, depending how you look at it, in Austin. And being part of that organization does keep the focus on local control. And I think that's really what their biggest issue is there, and are always looking out for ordinances or laws that could really hurt our ability to self-determine. So I would encourage my colleagues to continue to support this organization. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kleiman. Mrs. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a question for Brett. Hello, Brett. My question is related to the TML and National League of Cities. Does a city have to belong to their state municipal league in order to serve with National League of Cities, like say on an advocacy committee?
I don't believe so.
You don't have to.
I will check that, but I don't believe so, no.
I know you.
Now, TML is a member of the National League of Cities. And in fact, the executive director, Bennett, is on the board.
Yes,
but
I
don't think that it's a requirement that we be in TML to serve, to also be a member of the National League of Cities. But I will double check that.
I know years ago, if you wanted to be on a steering committee, and I know that National League of Cities is changing up that whole structure and how they treat their committees, but if you wanted to be on a steering committee, you had to get a recommendation from your state municipal league in order to be able to serve on that steering committee. That isn't true anymore, right?
No, I don't believe so for the committees. It is for the board of directors if they'd like to, for you to have the endorsement of your municipal league. But again, that's not a requirement. It's just something they like to see.
Could you find out, though, and do a little investigating and let me know?
Sure.
I'd appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you. Ms. Arnold.
Yes, before I vote on this amendment, just a quick clarification for me. As District 4, we do have an environmental issue that has been in the past. So my question would be, speaking to Mr. Kingston's statement, would this particular league have any support, or could they give a support for an issue specific to a district such as the Columbia meatpacking impact on our community doing research or assisting? I just need to know that, because I'm trying to find out, you know, if you're really a good partner on this agenda for environmental equity.
We can check with them to see if they would be willing to help us on that issue.
Well, I'm just asking, are you familiar with their work in the past? This is an issue in the past. I guess I would speak to the fact, did they provide any support to the city in terms of that environmental issue? Could someone help me with that?
I'd have to ask Anna. I don't believe so. No, not for that specific issue.
All right, so that would be one of my main concerns as a District 4 city council member in dealing with our environmental issues, but that is one major issue in my district that I would need help on, so I would not want to support an agency that's not giving full support to our agenda. I appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Gates.
Brett, if you wouldn't mind staying there for a second. In your opinion, if we were not a member, do you think then we wouldn't, obviously then we wouldn't have a voice at all as a large city, and could that hurt us if other?
I think it's important that Dallas have a voice. This is a statewide organization. They actually have a group. It's not an official committee, but they have a group of large cities that we meet with regularly. So it's us and the other 8 or 9 big cities in Texas.
What other large cities belong?
It's Houston, San Antonio, Corpus, Austin, Fort Worth, Arlington. It's, I think there's 8 or 10 of them. And we have a significant presence in that group. And I just think it's important for our voice to be heard.
Yeah, it sounds like that group might need to be louder with the whole organization, that, you know, they need to be representing our groups. I would be fearful if that we weren't part of it, then we wouldn't have a voice at all and make sure that large cities were represented through TML, because in those lobbying efforts. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. You know, this organization has been around since 1913. I think there's over 1,100 cities, and I do, I think Mr. Kingston does make some valid points with regard to these small cities that have more power. But isn't that really the way it is throughout the state? You know, the legislature, the rural caucus has much more power. They've asserted their will. We need to assert our will. But simply to be isolationist or to put our head in the sand on the subject is taking our voice away. I think we need to use any and all measures we can to get our agenda out. There's no other organization in Texas, really, besides there's one other, but they only represent like 300 cities, so I don't even know the name of it, so they're somewhat marginal. But I think we just need to get involved in a bigger way. I encourage all the council, not just to go, but to get in the middle of those committees and let them know what our agenda, what our stances are. And I don't think we, since I've been on the council, have done that well enough. We've gone and participated, but not the highest level that we need to. I think it's clear to me that the larger cities have had a voice, because Youngest Jordan was a chair last year, and he was councilman from Fort Worth. The recent chair was from Corpus Christi, which is a fairly large city. So it's a matter of just getting involved in the process, and I think, you know, if you'll avail us to more information about how we might get involved in that large city committee, I think that would be the way to start that very process. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan. I think it's important for us as a city council to all recognize, I'm just going to speak to Ms. Arnold too, and she stepped out, the battle that is taking place at a state level. It is a battle that is going to determine whether we have the power here at city council to do our job or not. There is a growing amount of legislators, and I believe there will be more of them this next year, that want to emasculate what we do around this city council. Their one wish, those people that want to take that power, is that the TML goes away. I've heard it time and time again from these extreme politicians. They say TML is bad. They want too much control at the city level. They want us to deal with environmental issues that we don't want to deal with, because at the state level, we're going to make the decisions. This is a serious issue in the state of Texas, a serious issue at the city of Dallas and the city of Houston, the city of Fort Worth, the city of Corpus Christi. Nelda Martinez worked day and night in the last legislature to fend off many of those attacks, and I appreciate her work. It is wrong for us to back away from this important organization that is fighting for the rights of our city and cities across the state of Texas. If you do it, you're cutting off your nose to spite your face as you vote. I just want everybody to know what we're dealing with in the next 4 years at the state level. Thank you. Ms. Arnold, did you want to say something?
Well, just quickly then, so that I can get information and clarification for my district. How then can I get the commitment or support from this particular league for our district? This is a very important agenda. It does affect the city of Dallas. It does affect our skyline. It does affect the economics of that area. It does affect quality of life. So for me, it's very important that we have a partner
that will have a vested interest in the quality of life and the future of the city of Dallas. And so my question would be, will we be able to talk with the right person if that person is here? But we need to engage in a commitment from this agency that this particular environment issue, we can expect some support and expertise on. So that would be my major concern as a representative of District 4. Thank you.
Thank you.
So,
thank you. You and I can talk about that offline too. You can do that. With that, we will all in favor. Excuse me. I'm sorry. We're dealing with Mr. Kingston's amendment. So let's do a record vote since we are getting the amendment. The amendment is to pass item 23 without approval of the 51-947 for the Texas Municipal League. So if you're approving it, we would not join Texas Municipal League. And then if please vote yes or no.
Third, 14 have voted. All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, Council Members Medrano, Arnold, Clayton, and Griggs. Voting against, Council Members McGue, Thomas, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Wilson, Council Members Gates, Kleinman, Mayor Rawlings, Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, Council Members Kingston, Callahan, Grayson, and Young. The motion fails, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Yes, Ms. Alonzo?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let the record reflect. Actually, Councilmember Kingston is voting in favor, and Councilmember Arnold is voting against.
Thank you, Ms. Rios. Sorry.
Right, and we did not switch our chairs, Mayor. I don't know how that is, but I wanted to make sure y'all got understanding on the vote.
Okay. All right. Whatever. I got in trouble last time I said something about that. Okay. Now we will take up Ms. Alonzo's motion. They're sitting, I know they are. They.
I can't.
Okay. We'll deal with it later. All right. I know. We'll deal with it later, okay? All right, now we will take up Ms. Alonzo's motion to approve. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, show of hands. One. Okay, thank you. Motion carries.
We move now to agenda item number 38, and that is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. For individual appointment to the Cultural Affairs Commission, you have Sylvia Hoagland, nominated by Councilmember Grayson, and Ms. Hoagland meets the artist qualification. To the Dallas Citizens Police Review Board, Paul Hill is nominated by Councilmember Kingston. To the Park and Recreation Board, Yolanda F. Williams is nominated by Councilmember Callahan. For Vice Chair of the Civil Service Board, Anita Childress is nominated by Mayor Rawlings. As Vice Chair to the Ethics Advisory Commission, John N. Rogers is nominated by Mayor Rawlings. Chair. Thank you. Vice Chair to the Community Development Commission is Antonia Hubert, nominated by Mayor Rawlings. So those are your nominees this morning.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Ms. Gates?
I just clarify, she said Vice Chair for Childress, too. I think it needs to be clear that it's Chair.
Okay. It's Chair for Anita Childress.
Yes.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
On agenda item number 39 is authorized reappointment of Gilbert Gerst, Brent Shropshire, Zanita Drew, and Edward Ockpot to the Dallas Development Fund Board.
Do we have a motion to approve? Do we have a second? We have a second. Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
The following statement applies to agenda items 40 and 41. By making and seconding the motions the council members represent, they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable about the facts and the circumstances of the cases, and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Therefore, the items will require 2 seconds for approval. Agenda item 40 is authorize a development agreement with WC717 North Harwood Property LLC to reimburse TIF eligible project costs for streetscape and redevelopment project improvements for the 717 North Harwood redevelopment project from revenues accruing to tax increment financing reinvestment zone 5. The item requires 2 seconds for approval.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Kingston, do you want to make a motion on this?
What?
It's in your district.
40 and 41.
It's on item 40.
Oh, move approval.
And we have Mr. Wilson second. We have another second. We have Mr. Medrano seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 41 is authorized number 1, the acceptance of a grant from the Texas Department of Housing and Community Affairs, TDHCA, to provide services to the homeless through the Homeless Housing and Services Program, HHSP, in an amount not to exceed $806,510 for the period September 1, 2015 through August 31, 2016. Number 2, the acceptance of a grant from the Texas Department of State Health Services, TDSHS, for A, to provide services to the homeless, B, a private one-to-one cash match, and number 3, the First Amendment to the Management Services Contract Phase 2 with Bridge Steps 2, A, allow Bridge Steps to count the TDHCA and the TDSHS funds toward Bridge Steps for the period September 1, 2015 through August 31, 2016, and B, require Bridge Steps to comply with all conditions of the TDHCA and TDSHS grant agreements. Again, the item requires 2 seconds for approval.
Thank you. I entertain a motion.
I'll move approval.
Okay. A motion. Do we have a second? Do we have another second? Okay. I'm sorry. Ms. Young. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. All right. Before we go to item number 3, we'll break into executive session. We'll have a executive briefing, and then we'll come back and vote on item 3 and 4 before we break for lunch. It is, let's see, 10:26. So if everybody can move back in the executive session, we'll start that immediately back in the back room. It is now 10:26 a.m., October 14th, 2015. City Council will now go into closed session under Section 551071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to receive advice from and consult with the city attorney on the following matters described in today's agenda, legal issues relating to addendum item number 3. Thank you. It is now 11:19 a.m., October 14, 2015. The City Council will now go back into open session. We met under closed session under Section 551071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act, received advice from and consulted with the city attorney on the legal issues relating to addendum item number 3. Ms. Rios will take that item up.
Thank you. Addendum item number 3 is a resolution authorizing waiver of the attorney-client privilege and release of all attorney-client privileged information involving investigation of and allegations against Councilmember Scott Griggs for his statements of April 13, 2015.
Thank you. Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you. I move to approve the resolution provided that the attorney-client privilege waiver is as to written communications, documents, or other materials in city records as of October 14th, 2015.
Second. We had a motion and a second. Discussion. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to amend the motion to add work product, a waiver of work product under the same conditions.
Okay. Let's go back into executive session because I think there's some legal questions on that. Okay, it'd been nice to have that little discussion earlier. Okay, it is now God. It is now 11:21 a.m., October 14th. In fact, this is what we're going to do. We're not going to take this item up to 1 o'clock, okay? Everybody, you guys look hungry over there, so sorry. Sorry. The City Council will now go back into closed session under Section 551 and all the things before on legal issues relating to addendum item number 3. Thank you.
We're going to take the session, but we don't start until 1. We're not taking this case until
1 o'clock, 1:05 p.m., and we will begin our afternoon session. We had two items to take up from this morning session. Item 3, addendum item number 3. When we left, there was an amendment in a second to, I got to read this to come out. That's right, we went back in. Well, I'll say this anyway. An amendment in a second on Mr. Kleinman's motion. We went into executive session, and we have come out of executive session now. We met under 551071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act. We received advice in regards to legal issues relating to this item, addendum number 3. So would the city secretary please read the motion as was made by Mr. Griggs?
Councilmember Griggs made the motion to amend approval of the item to include release of the work product.
So the item would read as what, Ms. Rios?
It's a resolution authorizing waiver of the attorney-client privilege and release of all attorney-client privileged information, including work product involving investigation of and allegations against Councilmember Scott Griggs for his statements of April 13, 2015.
Correct. Thank you very much.
No.
I thought it said as of October. Please read.
And
Mr. Ernst, would you give it to Ms. Rios so she can read it into the record so we all know what we're voting on?
Does this include the work product? Oh, yeah, both work product. Number 2.
Work product and attorney-client. Okay. All right.
Okay, so.
I'll go ahead and reread it.
Thank you.
It is motion to approve the resolution as follows. Number 1, the city is waiving both work product and attorney-client privilege as to the events of April 7, 2015, and number... April 7, I think. 13? Okay. As to the events of April 13...
Why don't you start from the beginning?
Thank you. There's a motion to approve the resolution as follows. Number 1, the city is waiving both work product and attorney-client privilege as to the events of April 13, 2015. And number 2, that the waiver is as to written communications documents or other materials in city records as of October 14, 2015.
Thank you. Is that correct, Mr. Griggs? That's the way?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We had a motion and a second to that. Discussion. Hearing no discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Take item number 4.
Mayor Rawlings has a conflict on addendum item 4 and will be removing himself from the council chamber. Addendum item 4 is a resolution designating an absence by Mayor Michael Rawlings as being for official city business.
Do I hear a motion?
Some move.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. And Mr.
Mayor Rawlings may now return to the chamber.
Thank you.
We move on now to zoning portion of zoning and public hearing sections of the meeting. Mayor Rawlings, Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo would like to be recognized on agenda item number 43.
Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to defer item number 43 until November 10, 2015.
Second.
Do we have to take a vote on this?
Yes.
Okay, motion and second for deferral. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Callahan would like to be recognized on agenda item number 46.
Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I've got a motion and I have some brief comments, if I may. I move to defer this item until November the 10th, 2015.
We got a motion and second. Any discussion? Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, Mayor, the reason I'm asking for this to be deferred, we met with the applicant and indicated basically what the expectancy level would be for this group to continue with their beer and wine permit at this location. I inspected that property this morning. They still are not really meeting my expectation level, so we want to show them the seriousness of this. And we've had some other concerns by the Cemetery Association and so forth, but we want to hold this for 4 weeks until we can give them the opportunity to try to make the improvements that we've requested in the near or the recent past. So that's why we're deferring.
Thank you. Any other comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Councilmember Thomas would like to be recognized on agenda item 48.
Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to defer item number 48 to the November 10, 2015 meeting.
We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Ms. Callahan, you might turn your microphone. Okay.
Councilmember Arnold would like to be recognized on agenda item number 49.
Ms. Arnold.
Yes, sir. I move to defer this item until November 10th, 2015.
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We now proceed.
I just want to make one comment for the body. I've asked Mr. Gonzalez to, and staff maybe listen to this too, so this might be good, to make sure the day before Christmas, the meeting before Christmas, we don't have every item come up, okay? So council, let's help Mr. Gonzalez do that. And a lot of these items, as we're deferring, just traditionally what happens is the last meeting in December and the last meeting in June is like 3 days long, and mainly because we just keep deferring stuff. And so doing it the first part of December, the last part of November would help. So thank you. Ms. Rios.
Thank you.
Mayor, could I say something quickly?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Ms. Arnold.
Yes, I did want to let you know that, just so that we would all know, that just for me, the deference came because of a last minute bit of information. So it's not because I did not read and I'm not prepared, but it is because of just a response to a constituent. And so I wanted to make sure we put that on the record. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you, Ms. Arnold.
Thank you. We move now to consideration of what remains on the zoning consent, and that is agenda item number 42, 44, and 45. Those items will be read into the record, after which speakers will be called. Agenda item 42 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to the boundaries of specific use permit number 1571 for a tower antenna for cellular communication limited to a monopole cellular tower on property northeast of the intersection of South Lancaster Road and East Keast Boulevard. Agenda item 44 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 2011 for an alcoholic beverage establishment limited to a microbrewery, micro distillery, or winery on property on the northwest corner of West 7th Street and North Bishop Avenue. Agenda item 45 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 2068 for a bar, lounge, or tavern on property on the southeast east corner of Main Street and Exposition Avenue. Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the items? Any speakers in opposition? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Arnold.
Move approval.
Item 42.
Okay.
They're all three, aren't they?
Yes, all three.
Virginia, all three.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry. I was looking at the wrong one. Yes, I don't have any comments, but I would just go ahead and move that we accept this particular.
Yeah. Second. I'm sorry. It's not. It is consent. I apologize.
Yeah.
It's all of them. So we have motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 47 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to specific use permit number 7 for a private school on property on the west line of Inwood Road, south of Forest Lane.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 56 notices to property owners within 400 feet of the area of request. We received 6 replies in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission with the following change. Change the 20-year time period with 20-year auto renewals to a 30-year time period with automatic 30-year auto renewals.
We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. Agenda item number 50. Is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an RR Regional Retail District and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property on the southeast corner of West Illinois Avenue and South Cockrell Hill Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 29 notices to property owners within 300 feet of the area of request. We received 1 reply in favor and 1 in opposition.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in favor? We have an individual coming forward. Sir, you do have 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
Good afternoon, Council, Mayor. My name is Robert Miklos. I'm the representative for Quick Trip, and this is going to be a quick trip at this location. My address is 1800 Valley View Lane, Suite 360, Farmers Branch, Texas 75234. This is a terrific project. We're working in tandem, hopefully, with the Parks Department to enhance the future trail system at that location as well. It's going to work hand in hand. So I would request that the council approve the City Plan Commission's request for an RR with the advanced deed restrictions. And I have a representative for Quick Trip here if you have any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I had a chance to visit with Mr. Miklos and other representatives on this project. I think for this area of the district, it will be a good thing, especially talked about with the common trail. So I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Mr. Mayor. If you would, please excuse me. The following statement is going to apply to agenda item number 50. It's by making and seconding the motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Therefore, for approval, the item requires 2 seconds.
We've got 2 seconds, Ms. Alonzo. And Mr. Wilson, any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 51 is a public hearing on the proposed establishment of a property assessed clean energy PACE program for the City of Dallas pursuant to the Property Assessed Clean Energy Act, PACE Act, as amended. We do have 1 registered speaker. After that speaker, it'll be open to the public. First, the registered speaker is Drew Bird. Mr. Bird, if you please come forward, you are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record, as well as state to the topic, please.
My name is Drew Bird, 500 Rochelle Boulevard, Irving, Texas. Good afternoon, Mayor Rawlings and council members. I'm Cities and Urban Infrastructure Director for Schneider Electric. Schneider is a global leader in energy management, urban infrastructure, and automation. We have a significant footprint in Dallas and a longstanding partnership with the city, and appreciate the opportunity to offer comments to you today on what we believe is a very important program for the city of Dallas. I applaud Dallas's leadership in advancing clean energy and economic development through the adoption of a PACE program. Dallas will be one of the first cities in the state to enable its property owners to overcome market barriers and invest in renewable and energy efficiency measures that will save money on electric bills and encourage a cleaner, more efficient city. It is difficult for many consumers and businesses to justify energy-related investments, as they often come with multi-year paybacks and high upfront costs. Because of this, critical equipment like air conditioners, lighting, energy infrastructure, and water pumps are often allowed to age until they break. Additionally, cost-saving innovative renewable technologies such as solar and energy storage are overlooked due to cost constraints. PACE financing encourages earlier replacement when the electric and water savings can pay for the cost of the PACE loan, and renewable energy solutions become a feasible option. All Dallas consumers and business benefit when we reduce energy waste, even if they do not participate directly in PACE projects. An efficient system is more affordable, more reliable, and mitigates the impact of fuel and utility price increases. PACE helps the city of Dallas and Texas to dramatically reduce building energy consumption and emissions associated with energy generation. The positive demand-side energy effects will help us meet current regulatory requirements like the Clean Air Act and future Clean Power Plan regulations. From an economic development perspective, PACE is a valuable tool for the city to encourage sustainable growth. As a business leader determining where to locate, tools like PACE offer a great incentive for Dallas. Additionally, PACE helps large commercial and industrial businesses reduce their energy costs so that they can better compete in local, national, and even global markets. The leadership shown by the city represents a vision for progress that is truly representative of a smart, sustainable city. For these reasons, we strongly support Dallas in continuing to develop its PACE program. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers on agenda item 51? Any other speakers? We have another individual coming forward. Again, you have 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
Thank you. My name is Charlene Heidinger, and I'm the executive director of an organization called Keeping Pace in Texas. The organization was created in January of 2012 to work on legislation to enable cities and counties across Texas to create this program. We couldn't have done it without the city of Dallas's help. You helped us with the legislation, and more importantly, you helped us establish a uniform model that every county and city can use at no cost, that is market-based and voluntary. It will allow your lending community, your contracting community, your engineers, and many others serve the needs of your businesses that own property in the city of Dallas. We're very, very grateful for your leadership. I'm available if you have any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Are there any other speakers on the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We have to close it?
Just close the hearing.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to thank Mr. Bird for being here. Schneider Electric has been a leader on this. Many of you all are friends with Garrett Boone, the founder of the Container Store, who's been a champion for the PACE program. It's similar to what we do in the city, where we finance environmentally friendly building upgrades through the cost savings that we achieve, the energy savings that we achieve. And so this is a really good program for private industry to follow in our footsteps, and should make Dallas a real leader in energy efficient buildings. The other person I really wanted to thank for this is Carl Zawadkowski and his staff in economic development. Dallas is really as far along in this as anybody, and we're likely to have the first PACE project in Dallas, hopefully in District 14. So I'm very appreciative for everyone who worked on this. This is a good example of city government facilitating something that the market can't really do on its own. This is a creative use of government that really benefits citizens. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Do you want to make a motion to close the public
hearing? Sure, we'll move to close the public hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Thank you, Mr. Kingston. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. We recently had an important conference here on climate extremes, and it was held at SMU, and Mayor Rawlings spoke at it, and our own Jill Jordan was a panelist, and so was Mr. Byrd. And so I just wanted to recognize him for that and say all of the panelists really did a terrific job in presenting that issue and some potential solutions, and here's one. So thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Arnold.
I do want to just support the statement that Ms. Grayson has made. I, too, attended that conference, and I do want to underscore the expertise of Ms. Jill Jordan. She represented us very well, and she has a lot of great plans and a lot of insight that will definitely help us, not only in the city, but in District 4 as well. And I want to highlight that and always want to commend our staff for their outstanding performance. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Arnold. So we've got a motion and a second to close the public hearing. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 52 is a public hearing on the proposed City of Dallas fiscal year 2015-16 Urban Land Bank Demonstration Program Plan. And at the close of the public hearing, consideration of approval of the City of Dallas fiscal year 2015-16 Urban Land Bank Demonstration Program Plan. Are there any speakers on agenda item 52? Any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We got a motion to approve and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
The following statement is required to be read. On agenda item number 53, pursuant to section 51A-6.108G3 of the Dallas Development Code, the applicant or licensed representative of the applicant who is familiar with the application must be present and available to answer questions. Would that individual please come forward and identify yourself? Would the individual either representing the applicant? Okay, we have somebody coming forward. I'm going to go ahead and read the item into the record. Item 53 is a public hearing on a proposed municipal setting designation to prohibit the use of groundwater as potable water beneath property owned by Guidestone Financial Resources of the Southern Baptist Convention, located near the intersection of Fairmont Street and Cedar Springs Road and adjacent streets rights of way, and an ordinance authorizing support of the issuance of a municipal setting designation to Guidestone Financial Resources of the Southern Baptist Convention by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality and prohibiting the use of groundwater beneath the designated property as potable water. Ma'am, if you would please go ahead and introduce yourself.
Good afternoon. My name is Cynthia Bishop. I'm the Environmental Counsel representing the applicant.
Thank you, ma'am. Are there any speakers that would like to speak on the item? We do have an individual here that would be available to answer questions if you have any. No speakers, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Mr. Kleiman.
Thank you, Mayor. I guess I have a question for staff or maybe applicant.
Before the question, Mr. Kingston, did you want to make
rule?
Thank you. And second? Okay, we have a motion and a second. Now, Mr. Kleiman, I apologize.
Thank you. So I see the applicant entered into the voluntary cleanup program with the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality in January of 2015. How much cleanup was done under that program?
All right. Tree falls in the forest, but here we go.
Good afternoon. And so you're asking about the amount of cleanup that's already been conducted on the site since January 15th. Currently at the site, the concentrations of the contaminants, chlorinated solvents, they're currently just barely above the drinking water standard. And so when the MSD is going to be putting the ordinance into place, it's going to be actually underneath the MSD modified non-ingestion PCLs. So it's administrative action or process.
What, so going into the voluntary cleanup program, puts into this administrative process of going to the MSD?
Right. So currently, the soil concentrations, there's no detections in soils, and so our MSD ordinance removes the pathway for groundwater ingestion. And so once the ordinance is in place, the groundwater concentrations are below what is allowed.
I understand that. I just don't understand this two-step process. If they entered in the voluntary cleanup program,
yes,
are
sir.
They now just avoiding the cleanup that they promised to do in order to get an MSD?
Well, it's not avoiding cleanup. So the goal is to protect human health and the environment and assess the risk that is, you know, at the property. And so the concentrations have been addressed. They've been sampled. There's analysis. There's concentrations. They are currently at this level. The state is allowing this level for ingestion. And so when we remove the ingestion pathway, we now raise that standard to a non-ingestion standard. And those concentrations fall below that standard.
Right. Okay. And then the other question is, I see that the applicant has intention to does the applicant putting up a high-rise building on that portion?
No, I believe the applicant is actually divesting the property off to a developer, and they're going to go through the process of redeveloping the
property. Okay, so this is in order to entitle the property and make it more valuable before they sell it to the developer?
Yes, sir.
So why wouldn't we want to just give it to the developer who's actually going to invest in our city, as opposed to giving it just to the landowner who's not investing in our city? This is not really any different than getting entitlements on a zoning case before you sell the property to somebody else. Maybe that's rhetorical. So, but that's kind of how I see it. You know, maybe the developer should acquire the property and come to the city because they're going to invest in our city. All right. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Any other comments?
I just want to give it a
questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion, one opposed. Mr. Kleiman, motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, that concludes your agenda items today.
Mayor,
could
I make a comment?
Please.
I just wanted to FYI tell the council that this morning when we were discussing the Texas Municipal League, and I had asked Mr. Wilkinson if we have to be a member of that league in order to be a member of the National League of Cities, and he looked into it, and yes, we have to be a member of our state league in order to be a member of the National League of Cities. So just FYI, I wanted to clarify that for the council.
All right, we got our afternoon speakers.
Yes, sir. We have Dolores Phillips and Patty Carter. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. If Ms. Phillips could please come forward. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks will be removed from the session of the meeting. You're allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Dolores Phillips. Address, P.O. Box 530236, Grand Prairie, Texas, 75053. You do have handouts. You have 6 that will be filed with the city secretary's office. What I wanted to say is it's all out in the open now. And I've humbly endured your bullying and your harassment in the utmost humility, and I will continue to do so. But what I need minorities to know is that I see minorities getting hopeless and helpless, but I need you to know if you just hold on and endure your suffering in America, in humility, you're guaranteed heaven in your ladder. Mayor Rollins, in the utmost humility, I say to you that when Corporal Cotner said he spoke to you the morning of October 25th, prior to me getting there, the same morning, it was no reason for you to call him because you instructed this meeting 2 to 3 weeks prior to me going to DPD. Corporal Cotner, when I asked for them to release the video clips of October 25th, 2013, they sliced, diced, and altered those videos as they did back in 2009 with those 911 calls. And I kept trying to figure out how do you do what you do, the corruption with the FBI right down the street. 5 years later of me begging FBI of documents that I gave to them proving that it was a cover-up, they released documents that they said I was continuing to ask for that never existed. When Corporal Cotner unlawfully detained me, unlawfully arrested me, can you fathom your wife, Mayor Rollins, or your daughter going to resolve corruption and being unlawfully detained and unlawfully arrested? Can you fathom that? I understand
why there is a massive incarceration of minorities. I've been through the process, and I endured it in humility. When they took me to Green Oaks and the lady asked me why was I there, I said it was a bullying tactic by Dallas because I speak of corruption. So all involved, United Parcel Service, Dallas Police Department, City of Dallas, and FBI threw me under the bus because they define me as black and treat me as black, but that's fine, but I'm going to continue to speak, and I'm not going to never have any regrets regardless of the ongoing consequences from Jim Crow South. What I do want to make a notice of and let the public know that October 23rd, 2015, down in Atlanta at the CDC headquarters, the Center for Control of Disease and Prevention, there will be a rally because it is alleged that CDC in Atlanta is altering the genetics of Latino and male boys by forcing them by the age of 3 to have umpteen vaccination shots. I don't think it's just now beginning. I just believe that it's just now being heard about. But what I want to say, regardless of what you continue to do to me, I'm going to endure that. But it's what you did to my mother and my family. You know, private, you know what y'all do here, the bullying and harassment? I'm not with none of that. I don't do females. I don't open up to none of that. And your deceptively brilliant smoke screens to cover up your corruption.
Thank you.
It's inhuman. It's unfathomable to be happening in America in the year 2015. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Your final speaker is Patty Carter. Ms. Carter, can you have 3 minutes to speak? Please state your name and address for the record, as well as relay your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. My name is Patty Carter.
If you can just put, there we go. Thank you.
My name is Patty Carter. My address is 3326 Lockwood. It is a Mesquite address, but however, I'm an employee of the City of Dallas. And I just wanted to talk about something that's really dear and personal to me. Earlier this year, my job was eliminated at the police department, and I was okay with that. But I was also, and now work at the front desk. I relocated up at the front desk. And I was told by a Pacific chief that I could, that they weren't gonna find me a job, that I could find a job myself. And I'm just here to speak about bullying a little bit. And I felt like I was bullied in that meeting at that time. And I found a job, and then I was denied to be able to get the job because she told me that she wouldn't find one for me. So I found that job, and then I was denied. I tried to make a complaint to Internal Affairs. I was denied that. I tried to speak with Chief Brown. I was denied that. And so the problem is that I'm a single parent. I'm a single mom trying to raise my 10-year-old daughter. I've been on this department for 18 years, and 16 years of those I've been on days. And I was reassigned to Third Watch, which created a hardship, which what I was trying to let Chief Brown know, that it was a hardship with my daughter. I'm the single parent, and my daughter is involved with a lot of sports, and I had to take her out of those sports. And when that particular chief told me if I found a job, and I did, I told my daughter I found somewhere, and so I don't have to be on Third Watch. And since she didn't let me go, I did go to Third Watch, and I was picking up my daughter in the evening time, and she's tired from work, tired from school, and so I did apply for another job. I did file a grievance as well, and I was denied that. I did apply for another job, and that's what I'm asking you guys to reconsider it being posted as a civilian job. This job is personal to me because it's a job at the jail, and it's the Detention Services DWI liaison. And this is personal to me because in 2012, I lost my son, who was 25, Jeremy Price, to a drunk driver. And I'm just asking at this time if you guys would reconsider making this job a civilian job and allow me to do it, because it's very personal to me, and I feel like I'd be a good candidate to be able to bring to work on the DWI program. We have too many DWI here in the City of Dallas, and if I was on that program, I would work hard with our DWI unit, because I did a ride along doing an initiative for Labor Day, and that officer said that they're tired, and I want to make it to where officers will go ahead on and make these arrests, and whatever I have to do to make sure that officers can come in and make that arrest and get back out there on the street. Most of them don't make the arrest because it takes too long. But I feel that this job is some job that needs somebody to have passion for the job. And I have passion for that job. And I'm already part of MAD, and I work hard with MAD. I just got...
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
Thank you. That's all right. Chief Cato is here, and he's heard this, and we'll confer with him.
I would appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
It just means so much to me.
Thank you.
To be able to do that DWI.
Thank you.
That concludes your speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. It's 1:39 p.m. A meeting is adjourned.